In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, upon this, your confession, and by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear my cry, O God, for you have been my refuge. For you, O God, have heard my vows. Prolong the life of the king. May he be enthroned forever before God. So will I ever sing praises to your name. Hear my cry, O God. The Lord be with you. We pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First reading is from Acts 9. But Saul, still breathing out threats of and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so he might regain his sight. But Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the gradual. Okay, please stand for the gradual. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. Please be seated. The epistle is from Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, and the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servant what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the singing of the Alleluia verse and the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. I believe. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to you from the saints gathered at Peace to you, the saints gathered here at St. Paul today. And I'm very glad that my people allowed me to have, we have a retired pastor at my congregation, fortunately, and he was able to fill in there, and so was able to come up and come to Grandpa and Nana's house and take care of things there. I love that you still have your Easter cross up. That's great. Looks lovely. And I wasn't going to give any little welcome thing here, but when it came to the prayers, I did not do my due diligence and check with somebody about how to say everybody's name. So I wanted to apologize for any mistakes that I might make in our prayers when I say someone's name. God knows exactly who you are, even if I don't know how to say your name. That's one of the great things about God, right? He can do that. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever murdered anyone? That's a good way to start. Have you ever, Now, I'm not talking about, you know, murder according to the, you broke the fifth commandment, you know, thou shalt not murder. As in, you know, we've had bad thoughts about someone, we've called someone bad names, or we've, you know, told someone, ah, go to hell. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about holding grudges against them or wishing bad things to happen to somebody. I don't mean that we've gotten into a verbal or even a physical fight with somebody. I mean literal murder. I don't mean just that you killed someone, because killing someone is not the same as murder. At least it sometimes is, but not always. Killing someone, I don't mean like, you know, there was a car accident or someone and somebody died. Now, I don't mean that you killed someone in self-defense or since we have Memorial Day tomorrow, in the line of duty, whether in military service or police service or something else. And I don't mean, and even if you know, I know the legalities on it and stuff are different, but I don't even mean if you got in a fight and you accidentally killed the person. I'm definitely not talking about those types of things. I mean straight up murdering an innocent person for, let's say, believing something different than you. All right, I don't see anybody raising their hands. That's probably, you know, legally speaking, that's probably a good thing. And if any of you happen to just be keeping your hand down, but, you know, you have that guilty conscience there about it, you are welcome to, you know, talk to me afterward, and we can take care of things. Now, I go into all of that, though, because of our Acts reading for Paul. Saul, we know him more as Paul. We don't have too many readings for Acts. It's really only just after Easter here. And so, next week you'll have one last Acts reading for Pentecost. But then that'll be the end of Acts for the church year, at least, unless you do it in Bible studies or something like that. So it's good that we preach on Acts at least a little bit for you when that comes up. Now, some of you know this already, some of you may not, some of you may have known it and forgotten it, but Saul, or Paul, you know, as most of us know, supervised the first stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, or first martyr of the New Testament, you know, apart from our Lord himself, obviously. Then he arrests all kinds of believers there in Jerusalem, and it even says, like, he scatters the church, essentially. Now, we don't know exactly how long it took before he ran out of people to terrorize and arrest there in Jerusalem, but he wanted to take that circus on to the next big town, and so he got permission to go up to Damascus and do the same thing. And, you know, that's kind of where we're coming in here. We don't know how many people, you know, besides Stephen, we don't know how many people he was, you know, responsible for killing. Yet even at the beginning of our text, it still says that he was breathing out murder and threats against the people of God. How many were executed? How many were, you know, put up, you know, killed on false charges like they did Jesus? How many died while they were in prison or something? We don't know that. What we know is there is at least one murdered to lay at his feet. I also bring it up because I think we can all agree that murder is pretty bad. You know, sometimes there are sins that we might think, well, is that really a sin? You know, what about this or that? You know, I don't know of anyone who says murder isn't all that bad. Maybe we should legalize it. I don't know why Pastor talks so harshly about murder in his sermons. It's a lot of fun. It's not like I got drunk last night. It's not like I watched naughty movies or something. Sheesh, what's he so hung up on about murder? Murder is generally considered, kind of a big-time sin. Doesn't mean we can't think of something worse. I can think of some things worse. But it's a pretty big one. Now, I mentioned that severity because I think that most of us have wondered at one point or another, can God forgive me for, you know, fill in the blank of whatever you feel guilty about? Can Jesus really forgive me for this? Pastor, I did some really bad things when I was younger. Pastor, I did some really bad things just the other day. Maybe there are Christians out there. Maybe there are Christians out there who have never wondered if they were really forgiven or if Jesus could save, you know, save them from all their sins. Maybe there's a few out there. I've just never met them. I've met plenty of Christians who have heard the whispers of their own guilty conscience or the whispers of the devil say, whispering in their ears, "Are you really forgiven? Seriously, do you think you're good enough for God?" It's common. It's common to have those doubts. Guilt follows us around, clinging to us, trying to drag us back down, trying to drag us back into the grave from which our Savior lifted us out. It's my job and the job of every pastor to remind you that you are forgiven. There's no sin too big. There's no sin too small. And God even puts some big-time examples of sinners that He forgives right in His Word for us, Paul being one of them. Jesus didn't pay for Paul's sins because He knew how much good Paul was going to do. He didn't forgive Paul and call Paul because he would write several letters that are part of the New Testament or start however many churches it is that he started. No. Jesus forgives Paul because Paul needed forgiving. He was a sinner. He was a sinner just like you and me. Not if the devil whispers in your ear that you are not good enough, remember that you are forgiven. You can't get any gooder than forgiven and made holy by Jesus. And please do not tell Pastor Spitzenberger that I use the word gooder. You have been called by God. You have been washed of your sins, and they have no power over you. We might remember and feel guilty about them, and other things too. God does not remember, and He does not hold them against us. And if you really do need help here, you can always call your vacancy pastor, or one of the pastors who comes and helps fill in and such. I didn't put myself there first because I'm just farther away, but I'm very easy to track down. And you can even call me if you would like and if you have need. Now I'm going to get, but you know, since I'm here today, I'm going to give you a little taste of what I tell you, and then you can decide whether you really want to give me a call. They'd probably tell you something similar. Okay. I'll be glad to tell you. If you call me and you tell me that you don't know if you're really forgiven, you don't think Jesus can forgive you for this or for that, and you can go into all the details you want about how horrible you are. And I'll be glad to point out worse sinners than you. I'll name names. And I don't mean, down the street names. I mean, right from Scripture names. Worse sinners than you. And I'll be glad to chastise you. I'm good at chastising. Good fire and brimstone sermon for you right over the phone. I'll be glad to chastise you for thinking that your sin is so great that God Himself can't pay for it. Your sin is so powerful, that the blood of God's own Son is not good enough to cover it up or to pay for it or to take it away. I'll be glad to tell you that God, who desires you to live, you mean to tell me that God, who desires you and wants you to live, can't make it happen? I'll be glad to point out that you are not more powerful than God. Yeah, you know, I'm making a little light of it, yes. But we have those kinds of thoughts, and those things hit us, and we need to be, you know, and this is the truth. Because that's, in a sense, that's what, when we give in to those things, we're giving in to thoughts against those kinds of things. But on a serious note, you know, if those things happen, because like I said, they come to all of us, pray and seek advice. Now, I started the sermon with that stark question about murdering someone for the shock of it, obviously. And I didn't want to lose that initial reaction by having a nice, calm introduction. But one of the things I like to do with the Bible stories is I like to answer a very common question. You know, who am I in this story? And don't tell my congregation, but a lot of times I try to pick out the unsavory person for us to be for that day. Not all the time, but it's fun to try and catch people with it. Now, I hope that through that first part, you know, that you could see a bit of yourself in Paul, you know, repenting and seeking forgiveness there. Because I know I can. You're sinners like him. You are forgiven like him. Your Savior died to give you real comfort for a real and true sinner like you. And he didn't save you because you were going to do something great and wonderful for him. He saved you because you needed saving. He saved you because he loves you. There's another interesting character in our story. And, you know, maybe you remember that maybe when we started this Acts 9 reading, you said, didn't we read this a few weeks ago? And you're right, you did. And I preached a similar sermon to this to my people. But for some reason this year when I went over this text, it really stuck with me. And so I worked with it a bit in Bible study with them and such, and we're going to talk about it a little bit in Bible study over here. It's going to be totally different than the sermon, though, so you know, you'll get even more. Yeah. But so I've been working with it for several weeks, and just this last week, I thought of this connection, and so that's one reason why I wanted to put this in here. Ananias. What I realized is that Ananias is prophetic of Paul. Ananias is in the place in our story where Paul will be in that same type of place later on in his life. He's kind of what Paul becomes. You know, what does Ananias do? He says to the Lord, he says, Lord, this guy's persecuted and killed your people. He's come here to do the same thing. I don't want to go in there. He might get me. Now, I think Ananias is probably a little bit more faithful than what I just made out there, especially with that last part. But I definitely know I was projecting myself in there because I'd say that. I don't want him to get me. But what's the Lord say about Paul? He says that he is my chosen instrument to suffer for my name. He will proclaim my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. So, in a sense, he will be doing what Ananias is doing right here. Ananias is God's chosen instrument, and even if he is hesitant to go into Paul, that's what he will do, because God called him to do it. Paul needed to hear, I forgive you all your sins, even as you and I hear this every week. Paul needed to be baptized and joined to the death and resurrection of his Savior, just like you and I have been baptized and washed and joined to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Ananias, suck it up, buttercup. Get on in there. Later, Paul is going to be in Ananias' role. He's going to be going into people who aren't all that fired up to hear him. God seems to have calmed Ananias' concern by sending him in. Ananias might not want to help this guy, but he doesn't really have to worry about his safety in this case. Paul, though, will be arrested. He will be stoned. He will be beaten. He'll be thrown in jail. He'll go before governors and kings, but he'll do it in chains. He might have spoken to the emperor himself about Jesus Christ, but as at least according to church history, he was beheaded for proclaiming Jesus Christ. Something tells me that Paul wasn't necessarily all that thrilled to do that. Not that he didn't rejoice to suffer for Jesus' name. He was absolutely faithful to the very end. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm kind of talking about here is that Paul probably didn't say, I could go for another good stoning. Hey, Barnabas, why don't we go proclaim Jesus to the Jews so they get mad and pelt us with rocks? In his prayers while he was in jail, he probably didn't say, God, if it's your will, please let me get shipwrecked, make it out alive, still get drug off to Rome and speaking to Caesar, and then, have my head chopped off too. Sounds like a great, great, great Sunday afternoon. Ananias was the chosen instrument to go to Paul. Later in his life, Paul is the chosen instrument to go before the Jews, the Gentiles, and even kings. Have you ever seen yourself as a version of this future Paul? I'm sure you can think of a few times in your life, maybe not when you got stoned or thrown in jail, but I'm sure you can think of a few times in your life where you were in a place to serve a person or a group of people and you weren't all that thrilled to do it. They aren't grateful. They got themselves into this mess. They don't know their head from a hole in the wall. But God has put you there. He's given you the opportunity. Maybe he's given you the skills. Maybe even the calling to serve that person or those people at that time. You are the chosen instrument. And that's the thing with that. You don't have to be happy about it. It's better if you can indeed say, Lord, yes, Lord, here I am. As Ananias did, and as Paul did too, with a humble heart, and even be glad that God has chosen you to do it. But guess what? Suck it up, buttercup. Time to get it done. And God's put you right there for you to do it. So get your heart and mind right. Look to the Lord for strength. Look to him to watch out for you. He died to save you. He's forgiven you. He's not going to leave you all on your lonesome to take care of it. He's going to be with you in that hard or difficult task. It's his task. That person or that group of people, they're his people. They need him. You're the instrument. Or, as I have it written here, you're just the instrument. And that really is a blessing. One of the great gifts of God's Word is that we can see ourselves as the biblical character. They're real people with real problems, real mistakes, real faults, and real and great blessings. We can see ourselves as Paul repenting. We can see ourselves as Paul later serving. We can see ourselves as Ananias and as Paul in the future. We can see ourselves not all that thrilled to be doing some task or helping this or that person, but doing it anyway because that's what God wants us to do. He has chosen to forgive us because we need forgiving. He has chosen to care for you and for others who need Him. We're blessed to be called His people. We're blessed to be serving God and serving our neighbor. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We give Thee but Thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is Thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. And we pray, O righteous Father, Your Son obeyed Your holy will for the sake of our salvation. Through Your Spirit, give Your church on earth unity of faith, that the world may know that You sent Your Son to rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Lord, in Your mercy. Heavenly Father, You have instituted holy baptism as a saving flood, a washing of rebirth and renewal. Grant that many would be washed in the river that flows from the heavenly city and be brought through her gates into the communion of Your church. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord of the church, You have sustained Your people through the ages by the apostles' witness to the death and resurrection of Your Son. Raise up from among us faithful pastors in every age. Keep our missionaries, pastors, and overseers faithful to You in all things. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord, You have placed us in communities and families where we are nurtured and grow in the knowledge of Your word and love of You. May we be faithful teachers of that word to our children and those not yet of the kingdom. Lord, in Your mercy. Gracious Lord, we thank You for the many blessings You have bestowed upon this nation. Grant us a long memory to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security. Bring to mind the sacrifices of those who served faithfully until death in the protection of our freedom and in the defense of our land. Lord, in Your mercy. Eternal Lord, You have seated Christ at Your right hand for our deliverance. Remember all who are afflicted with illness and injury, especially Annie Mae Koronek, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Jan and Sheila Johnson, Robert Galabase, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Zechariah Johnson, Megan Rodriguez, Dean Stauberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Popka, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Robert and Donna Knauf. Give them health and strength according to Your will. Sustain them in faith, knowing that for Jesus' sake You will raise them in glory on the last day. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord of hosts, You have instituted and given Your sacrament for the faithful to receive the very body and blood of Your Son for the forgiveness and life and salvation. Grant us all pure hearts to receive this gift worthily. Lord, in Your mercy. Merciful God, we praise you and remember the faithful who went before us and now rest from their labors. Grant that we may follow in faith where they have led the way, and at length be brought with them into your everlasting light and life to see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know and that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples and in their sight was taken up into heaven that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it and gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. please stand as we join together in singing the Nunc Dimittis? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
been a blessing to be with you today. Thank you for letting me come and lead worship and give you God's word and administer the sacraments to you today. Are there any announcements that we need to take care of? Nope. Okay.
Everything I've heard and seen is a good procedure, and let's get through it.
All right.